Can you wait? People tend to have a hard time with that. It's human nature to be impatient. But I'd like for us to consider today whether or not we are able to wait. I'd like to turn to John, the 14th chapter. These are some of the most comforting scriptures, I believe, in the Bible. John 14. And verse 1, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So here we are in this time world with our trials and temptations, all of the sorrows of life. And Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled, because I've gone to prepare a place for you. There is something for us to look forward to. And I want to ask today, can we wait for that? Are we willing to wait for that comforting place to be in? It's like leaving a little child behind and saying, I'll be right back. I want you to stay right here, and I'm going to come back for you. I remember one of my earliest childhood memories. I had gone to a department store with my mother. And while she was shopping, we got separated, and I started to panic. And I began to cry. I went through the clothes aisles looking for my mother. Couldn't find her. And I began to cry, and the strangers coming to comfort me were of no comfort. You know, it seemed like I could have just waited a little while. But in my child's mind, I didn't know if I would ever see my mother again. And the thought of that was just too much for me. So I began to cry, and it took them quite a while to get me settled down. Even after I found her again, or she found me, it took me a while to settle down. Well, the Lord wants us to have some patience in our lives. He wants us to be able to wait because He is coming back for us. There are times that we feel lonely, we feel discouraged, we feel like, I just don't know if I can keep going on. But the Lord wants us to know that we just need to wait because He is coming back. We don't have to worry that we may never see Him again. I imagine some of His disciples had that feeling. When Jesus was crucified and when the Lord was betrayed, perhaps in their minds they were wondering, will we ever see Him again? Well, all they had to do was wait for a while, and they were able to see Him again. Let not your heart be troubled. In Exodus chapter 24, Moses had gone into the mountain. Exodus 24 and verse 12. The Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone, and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us, until we come again unto you, and behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. Just wait for us a while. We have something to do. And here are the men that can take care of you if you have a need. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days, and the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Do you notice how God operates? As humans, it seems like we want action right now. But Moses went up into the mountain, and he waited 6 days before God even spoke to him. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Now imagine if you were one of the children of Israel and you could look up on this mountain. It says, in their eyes, the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire. That would have told you something. The glory of the Lord is there. That's where Moses went. You would think that they would have the patience to wait for a while to see what was going to happen. But human nature is not one to let us wait. In chapter 25, let's think about the things that Moses received while he was in the mount. Moses received instructions about the fashioning of the tabernacle, the details of how the tabernacle was to be built, about the Ark of the Covenant, the kind of wood it was to be made of, the gold covering that went on the outside of the Ark, and about the establishing of the priesthood. These seem like very important things to me that would have been worth waiting for. All of these things that God was teaching Moses so he could come back and tell the people. Well, when the Lord has us waiting, many times it is for an important reason. There is something important working that God wants us to wait for. He explained to him the fashioning of the altar, the cherubims with their wings over the altar, about the laws that people were to live by, and with his own finger, he wrote in stone the commandments. That was something that those children of Israel should have been able to wait to see what the Lord had for them. In chapter 25 and verse 20, "And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all the things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel." What an important occasion, important instructions. God says, there is the place that I'm going to meet with you. Isn't that worth waiting for? But yet, humans in impatience are not willing, it seems, to wait. Where is this man Moses? In chapter 32 and verse 1, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him." Unwilling to wait. They saw the glory of the Lord in the mountain, and Moses was receiving the Mosaic law. He was receiving something so important. How people could have God meet with them and approve of their lives. Yet they were not satisfied to wait and said, "Up, make us gods that will go before us." Are we willing to wait today for the Lord to work out His will in our lives? Are we willing to wait to receive the things that the Lord has for us? Or are we going to say, "Up, make us gods. I'm not satisfied to wait. I've got to take some other way." Lord, help us to have the patience to wait. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 36, Matthew 26 and 36, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Can you wait with me just a little bit? Can you pray with me while I face the heaviest trial of my entire life? Are you willing to do that for just a little while? Verse 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep. And saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? I think about the short hour of life. And Jesus will come back and find people. And the question is, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Couldn't you share in my burden? Couldn't you wait for me to find out my will for your life? Did you have to say, Up, make us gods? Did you have to find your own way in life? Just a short time. To wait, to watch and pray. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. The most critical trial of his life, it seems. And can we wait with the Lord? Are we going to be faithful to him? It seems like we're living in a real critical time to me. The news is depressing. You look at what's going on in the school system, in the governments of the world. It is a time that people's hearts are fearful. We don't know what is coming. We don't know how long we will have to be able to worship God in freedom. We don't know those things. So what should we be doing? It's a time for us to be awake spiritually. It's a time for us to be watching and praying rather than being like these disciples that fell asleep on the Lord. Man's life is so short. I asked Grandpa when he was in his 90s, Grandpa, your life, has it been long, a long time? And he just kind of looked at me and smiled. And I kept asking him because I wanted an answer to my question. It's not often you get to ask somebody that's almost 100 years old whether or not that seems like a long time. Well, finally, he did give me an answer, and he said, not so long. That's man's life. Even if we live to be 100 years old, it's not very long. Saints, it's not very long to wait to be faithful to the Lord. And those that may consider a different way, it's not very long until we're out of this life, until we have to give an account of the deeds done in the body. Let us be willing to wait the short hour of life to watch and to pray. The scripture says in James 4 and 14, What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. When that vapor is over, we will be so glad if we chose to wait for the Lord. In Luke chapter 12, and verse 35, it says, Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding. That when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants, whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he come in the second watch or in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Blessed are those servants when the Lord comes that he finds them watching. You think of watchmen. In the military years ago, they had that post. That was one of the jobs, watchman of the fort. And the consequence for falling asleep as watchman was very serious. It was death. And that seems awfully severe. I mean, humans get sleepy. They fall asleep. Have mercy. He was a young man. Won't you spare his life? Well, let me tell you something. The seriousness of falling asleep when you are watchman is that all those others in the fort, you just put their lives in grave danger. Well, the Lord wants us to stay awake. Can't we wait for a little while? Can't we stay awake spiritually until the Lord calls us home? I believe that we can. There are some things that are very beautiful, and one of those is a pure virgin bride. That to me is so beautiful. And the same thing with a groom. It is beautiful. What a beautiful day when those two are joined to become husband and wife. There is a charm in that. There is something so beautiful. And the bride may not be the most beautiful girl in the world, and the groom may not be the most handsome. But when they come together in their purity to become a man and wife, oh, what a blessed thing. What a beautiful thing. But yet the devil doesn't want people to wait. He wants young people to just go out and throw it all away, to destroy something that would be so beautiful, something so much worth waiting for, so much more rewarding than if they go and throw it all away. Are you willing to wait? The Lord has something so good for us if we're willing to wait. Let not your heart be troubled. The Lord has gone to prepare a place for us. I remember another thing from my childhood. I remember one year at Christmas time. We had gifts, and I wanted to open the gifts. And it was taking too long, and I was not patient. And I waited, and I kept asking. I was maybe 5 years old, I don't know. But it just wasn't happening. Finally, I'd had enough, and I went out that door and started down the road. And somebody noticed. And here came Dad walking right beside me. And I'd walk faster, and his legs were longer. Well, he'd walk faster too. I'm glad I had someone that cared about me. But to make it worse, he started talking to me. Doug, where are you going? I didn't know. I wasn't willing to wait. Folks, we got to be willing to wait for the good things. I'm sorry I get emotional. But I appreciate having had someone that cared about me. I'm thankful that when we do go astray, that there's someone that's willing to come after us and call us back and talk to us. I'm thankful for those things. It is worth waiting for. The Lord has good things for us in life. He has good lives for you young people and children. You must be willing to wait for the Lord. A lot of things are ruined because people are not willing to wait. They just make a wreck of things. But the Lord wants us to have patience. I wonder how many times that Moses, when he was in the wilderness, what was it, 40 years in the wilderness, before he went back as deliverer of the children of Israel while they were in Egypt. I wonder how many times he was out there in that wilderness and wondered, what is going on? Here I thought I was going to be the deliverer of those people. And they're still down there suffering, God. They're still under the whips, the taskmasters. I wonder how they're doing. Here I tried to be a deliverer of my Israeli brother, and instead I ended up running for my life. I wonder how many times he wondered and he had to wait. Well, I believe God has a purpose in the things that he makes us wait for in life. I wonder about David. He was anointed king. He had right to the throne. But yet there was somebody that was not in God's will that still held the throne. I wonder how many times David said, but I'm really king. And here I am, the one that's hunted. Why, God? You know, the Lord has a purpose in the things that he lets us wait through. In Psalms 105, in verse 17, tells about Joseph. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. How many times while Joseph was in prison did he wonder, why am I going through this? I didn't deserve it. Saints, let us be willing to wait. There is a reward coming. Joseph experienced that reward. And finally, he was made. It may seem like that life is dealing us reverses, that we don't understand why we face the things we have to face, why we have to wait for some of the things that we're waiting for. Lord, I thought it would have worked out by now. Hold on. Are you willing to wait? There's a great reward waiting for us. Well, what was Joseph doing while he was waiting? Let's look in Genesis chapter 39. Genesis 39 and verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and shewed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was in his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So Joseph, it sounds like, was behaving himself, even in prison, to the extent that everything was put into his hand to be the overseer of it. He was not the leader of riots in the prison, the leader of insurrections, but instead he was still being a faithful man. In chapter 40, verse 6, Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. So while Joseph was in prison, he was ministering to the sad, wasn't he? What are you doing while you're waiting? Are you looking out for other people that are needing help? Oh God, I'm in a bad situation. I'm having to wait. I'm looking for deliverance. I'm being treated unjustly. Are you ministering to other people while you're in that situation? Lord, help us to wait like Joseph did. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said unto him, and he went ahead and told him his dream. Well, Joseph interpreted the dream for the baker. In verse 14, he told the baker, "But then think on me when it shall be well with thee, and shew me kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house." But the baker forgot about Joseph. And in verse 20 we read, "And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted unto them." I'm sorry, it was the butler. "But yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him." So in spite of being forgotten, after having ministered to this man, helped him in his time of need, Joseph still waited faithfully and patiently. The scripture instructs us to possess our souls with patience. Our souls are very valuable. God has a plan for our lives. How are we waiting? Are we willing to wait? I'm thinking about running ahead of qualifications and callings. The Lord has a plan for our lives. And He will qualify us. He will make us able and qualified to do what He calls us to do. Let's not run ahead of that. In 1 Timothy 3, we read about some qualifications. 1 Timothy chapter 3. "This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil." Not a novice. The Lord wants us to be willing to wait on Him. The scripture says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain." Can you imagine an impatient farmer? One that simply cannot wait for the crops to grow, or the animals to grow up. It takes some patience, doesn't it? "Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Are we willing to wait? I'd like to share with you something the Lord gave me as a young person. When I faced a dark time in my life, through the perilous storms of adolescent emotions, impatience and frustration often obscure the sky of youthful joy. It is in these blackest moments of our lives that we may shrink from the future and reality, not willing to expose ourselves once the cloak of childhood security is torn away. That childish happiness, once so abundant and so unappreciated, is gone. It is during this natural stage that many young people fall to ruin, like raging children who uselessly defy their parents' correction. In fighting their fates, it is possible for young people to embed themselves more deeply in the quagmire of heartache. Thus they choose to obliterate all hopes of eternal gain for a short, defiant struggle for their own ways. But the bitterness of heart in the beginning returns and turns into acrid remorse in the end. Fruit picked unripe is lost. Bridges traversed uncompleted may crumble. So it is with the fruit of life and destruction's overpasses. If harvested prematurely, the joy of our lives will be spoiled. If crossed too soon, life's bridges may give way to the vast dark crevice of heartache. If fruit is wholesome, is it not worth the wait for its season? If a bridge will make life's pathway complete, must we vehemently insist on scaling the treacherous cliffs? If we do insist, sure destruction awaits. The pathway was not made for us to choose its course. The journey is a day's travel at most. Then why would we not take time enough to find the right path? All shortcuts lead to failure, to a bitter end. What storm rages without end? What could hide the sun forever? The lesson so precious is this: submission to God during the onslaught of cold, violent waves of misery is the course to safety. Why cast overboard the charts and compass? Why untie the anchor in the worst of seas, only to be dashed against the reefs? The reefs are cluttered with crushed skeletons of ships gone before, ships which once had the choice that is to be made today, ships whose control was lost in the storm. But far away from the crashing breakers is a tranquil sea. On the horizon, a majestic fleet skims the golden waters. It is true that the hulls are weather-beaten, that the sails are worn, but how softly the breeze swells and gently tugs the sails. How brightly the sun bathes the restful scene. No sorrows of youth haunt those grand ships now. The dark billows have long been forgotten. The joy now is one deeper than any childhood joy. All that was torn away in youth gave way to a beautiful blossoming of happiness and comfort. Tattered but glorious, those ships are sailing home. Are we willing to wait? There are things worth waiting for in life. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. It's going to be worth waiting for. This life has sorrows. Let's not be like the little child in the department store that couldn't handle it anymore. Let's be willing to wait for the Lord. Here's this promise: and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.